Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that brings together well-known friends to talk through three thought-provoking questions, usually over three glasses of wine, but not today. My guests this week are teetotal, but we're no stranger to a glass or two, or three, or four.
1,000 boxes of.
It was never a bottle, by the way, it was a box.
I
used to walk around with a box of wine, didn't I, Meg?
A vineyard, $2.99 box of wine in the fridge.
You are, of course, listening to a woman whose life has spanned, well, emigration to Africa.
To Africa when I was 9.
Boarding school in Oxford, working in the music industry at the height of Britpop, which is where we met.
Yeah.
You then went on to marry Noel Gallagher and became a mum to Aeneas.
Thank you.
Who is like all over the shop right now, being the face of Adidas, walking for Dolce & Gabbana. She was on the cover of Tatler last month. Meg Matthews, it is so lovely to have you here.
Thank you, Kate Thornton.
And she's flown in all the way from Marbs to join her. So nice to see her. I wish you were in the studio because the colour of the woman, my goodness.
Beyond bronze beads.
Bronzed. I mean, literally, if you put Donatella Versace next to you right now, she'd feel a bit pale. This woman is just lovely. You may remember her as Jude Cunningham from Hollyoaks. And she, again, has opened up and laid bare her own difficulties and battles with everything from addiction to postnatal depression and living with being bipolar. She is now one ripped, fit... Oh, I was going to swear then. I'm not going to swear. I was going to say mofo.
Mother of four.
Better! Oh, Davinia Taylor, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's really exciting to be here and chat with Meg as well.
You know what? If you'd have thought 25 years ago that we would be sat here, you've got two kombuchas and I'm on a sparkling water,
no,
we wouldn't recognise ourselves.
No, it's so boring. God.
But what I love about you both is that you are absolutely sober and you celebrate that. But there's no kind of writing off the past and being all kind of pious about it. It's like, they were good times.
we laugh about it, we enjoy it, we embraced it for what it was, and boy, did we, we rinsed some late nights, didn't we, ladies?
Absolutely, yeah. And early mornings.
Absolutely.
Now, Meg, these days you are, I'm going to say poster girl for the menopause.
Yeah, thank you.
Because you are owning a conversation, a really important conversation, around something that every woman is going to go through. There's two guarantees in life when you're born as a female, death and the menopause. That's it. If you work, you have to pay some taxes. And nobody really talks about it. So you have a blog about it, you have a column, you have a podcast, and a really great range of products, which is stocked in Superdrug, is that right?
Superdrug, Boots, and Tesco's.
Oh, check you out
and
with your distribution.
Online, yeah.
So proud of you. I think what you've done, having known you all these decades, I think this is your most important moment, Meg, so well done.
Yeah.
And you had a very strong network of friends. So I wondered, how did you two meet? Was it through that crowd?
Nelly.
I think...
You came round the... Did he?
I think so. Well, he was like your neighbour at the time. You were in Supernova Heights, and then I ended up buying it.
So, Meg, you lived there. You lived at Supernova Heights with Noel.
Yeah. Then I think Davinia came round... Did we come with Nelly?
I think so.
Nelly Hooper.
Oh, he was like an ex. He's like an ex of everyone, to be honest. But anyway.
I think it was around that time.
It was around about that time. It was the late 90s.
Yeah,
anyway,
I'm sure.
So I ended up buying Meg's house.
That's how you became friends?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's
did
all,
she do you a good deal?
No, we think
she did a fabulous deal. No, I mean, to be honest, the fixtures and fittings were on another
level.
I still dream about that fish tank.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
David Walliams bought it from me.
The whole thing.
And took the fish out and everything. I remember cleaning everything so we could move into a nice clean house, and then next minute everything's on a low loader disappearing.
And how did he end up buying it from you?
I was kind of partying with him anyway, so there's a lot of business done in these parties. I mean it's not
there's
all fun and games, you know. There's a lot of money.
Supernova Heights could speak. Oh my god. I remember Gwyneth Paltrow running in going, look at my engagement ring from Brad Pitt. I mean, there was all sorts of things.
No way.
Yeah.
I was honestly
Yeah. But then we said it was a bit, we thought it was like everyone who went there split up.
Well, you did, I did, you did, and David Walliams did.
So,
he's
looking
for a happy marriage, don't Yeah, he has.
Because
I bumped into him on Regent's Park, actually.
Yeah.
I was carrying one of the kids home, and he was there, and I just started chatting to him, and he's like, oh, hello, you know how he is.
Yeah.
I never know how to take him. His humour's so weird. I'm like, how are you? And he just, like, really scares me. But he said he'd sold it, and he was, like, divorced and everything.
Yeah, see?
So, yeah, exactly. But I've got a feeling it's not necessarily the house, it's the people we know that split up.
I think you're probably right there. We've got a nice little family, four in there now, and they're all doing very well.
And you've got four kids, didn't you?
Four boys, a lot of testosterone, a lot of noise.
And Meg, how old's Anais now?
Anais is 19. I know. 19.
You did good with her. She's turned out lovely,
isn't she? Yeah, absolutely an angel. I mean, I couldn't be really prouder. She's just, like, I know all mums are going to say that, but she could be, number one, a really spoiled brat. She could be really like, you know, my dad this, my mum this. And she's the most down to earth. You know what I mean? Also, she doesn't take drugs. She drinks occasionally, doesn't smoke. So all the things I was just terrified of. Just doesn't
it's not flickered on a radar. But I think that's the next generation.
Absolutely.
They're way smarter than us.
I hope so. Well, we didn't really have that sort of like example. You know, if you saw someone who was an alcoholic, it was like a character in Coronation Street. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you didn't, it wasn't really out there. So you didn't have people like us out there saying, you know what, it's a genetic disease. So watch out. Don't drink to excess because you carry this gene.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean,
but there was no education around it.
No. And I'm really into like the whole of like the genetics thing. Because from where I'm looking, from an outsider looking in, it's always, I was under the impression that you had to be in an abusive family or bitter poverty or some tragedy had happened to you. No, I had none of those three.
Nor did
I'm from a middle class family, parents who loved me, you know, brilliant schooling. I didn't really get bullied. I went to an all girls school and I got a bit of bullying there, but that was just normal. There was nothing, there was no trauma in my life. So as I started going through recovery and everything, I thought there's something bigger here because it's in my family, you know. I'm from an Irish sort of background, and you know, you always hear about the heavy drinking with the Irish and everything.
Is your dad a big drinker? drinker? Was your mum a big drinker?
My mum wasn't. No. She wasn't at all. My dad, but he can drink. Yeah, he can drink and to get drunk, but he can switch it off, you know? I don't have that
switch off button.
But looking further into it, there's a thing called, you all know about the DNA, sort of like your code of DNA, and you can't change that. Well, there's this like emerging science called epigenetics. And basically, it's emotional DNA that gets handed down through generations. Yeah. So things like trauma, you can inherit from your great-great-grandmother unknowingly. And through trauma, obviously, that makes you susceptible for different diseases like diabetes, like some sort of like low cortisol level, which will lead to chronic fatigue, which obviously leads to depression, which can obviously lead to then drinking and self-medication. Yes. So this like emerging science could be unlock the whole key to this.
So you're carrying somebody else's emotional baggage.
Yeah. It's incredible. Like, I'll give you an example. You're not going to like this because it's done on animals. She's a big...
She'll leave.
They did a rat study in the States, and this is really interesting. I only just read about it the other day. And it's on male rats, so it's not the female rats. And what they did was they gave a rat an electric shock whenever it smelt like a perfume smell. Like, I think it was cherry blossom. And so they did that over a period of time. And so the rat shudder as soon as it got an electric shock, and the smell was pumped out, so associated the two. Then they stopped giving the rat electric shocks, but as soon as it smelt that cherry blossom, it'd shudder. Now, that's obviously like an emotional memory, but the interesting thing was that male rat then went on to have grandchildren, and those grandchildren shudder at the smell of the cherry blossom. So it's like sort of like an alert thing, you know. And there's another study out saying about women and men in 9/11, their kids have been born with extremely low cortisol levels. The fight or flight is much lower, so that puts them at high risk from all sorts of like diseases like chronic fatigue.
Wow.
I know. So, you know, when you're like, oh my God.
She's always biohacking.
Oh, no.
She's
so boring.
You're about to become my Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, oh, don't worry. She is. Okay,
Nike it is.
Yeah.
Right, are you ready for your first question, ladies?
Yes.
Okay, your first question. Do you want some more kombucha?
Nope.
We're all fine.
You're good.
Don't drink it like wine. So.
You do. I see you do at night.
Can you identify one event or period in your life that has changed everything for you?
God, I think for me it was my mum getting ill and dying of cancer. That sort of, I mean, obviously that's traumatic and horrible for everyone, but for me it shifted my whole outlook on how to feed myself and feed the kids, and start looking on a deeper level of how we can empower ourselves to mentally eat better for our minds. And that opened up a whole self-preservation attitude towards me.
And that's because you believe that a lot of what she was eating was,
I think, stress
a contributing factor to her.
I think she carried the BRCA1 gene, but I think she could have maybe helped silence it by eating a certain way, by doing certain sort of, I mean, you can change your sort of DNA pathways by doing things like meditation. Now that to me is pretty voodoo and it's totally out of my comfort zone, but when I see evidence of it and brain frequencies and stress lowering down and different chemicals happening in your body, she was really stressed, my mum, and so she used to take lots and lots of sort of like sleeping tablets and antidepressants and everything, so her liver was having a really hard time. So like the knock-on effects of not being able to calm herself down naturally, I think, put a toxic load on the rest of her body, which subsequently eventually arrived in cancer.
Wow.
And I think, obviously, we grew up around 80s, 90s. I mean, she wasn't big on cooking or anything, so there's a load of microwave food in there as well. Mm. And I just think eventually your body just goes, no, I can't hold it off anymore. And that's for me, it's all about preserving.
So you changed the way you eat, the way you feed your family as a consequence of losing your mum?
Yeah.
And today marks your 10th year of sobriety.
Yeah, so it's September the 4th. I know, right?
Amazing.
But isn't that weird? It's like that school year. Like, there's so many people who get sober in September, not in January, you know, not January the 1st. Yeah. It's the summer in us is like, right, September, new pencil cases out, let's go. And it's like, right, September, let's stop drinking vodka in the morning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'd recommend that any time of year, really.
Morning drinking, it just came with a
tip. I've never done that.
Yes, it was all with the territory.
Oh, you don't know what you're missing.
I had a beer. I would always have a beer first thing in the morning.
You see, beer didn't do it for me. It made me more depressed.
Did it?
Yeah.
I'd have a bicycle beer.
How long since you're 3.5 years now?
Yeah.
Well done, Meg.
But yeah, you've been in and out.
In and out. Three years, four years.
But the menopause like brought you back to drinking, didn't it? Because it was so horrible.
Yeah. I'm not going to answer your question for you. What's been the one event or period in your life that changed everything?
The menopause.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think, I never thought I would be doing... It's not being of service to women, I think. I just, you know, I love it, and it's just changed my life completely. And
but you've turned a negative into a positive.
Yeah.
Because you were so low with it, weren't you?
Yeah, like really low. Like I was, like on loads of antidepressants, didn't leave the house because I had no clue that I was going through the menopause. I thought it was my whole lifestyle that had caught up with me from the 90s.
You thought too many late nights.
It's
biting me on the arse.
Yeah. And I'd just shattered my nervous system, you know. It's one of those days, and I just thought, oh my god, this is all what, you know, my mum used to say to me, it's all going to catch up with you, you know. And then all of a sudden, everything that was happening to me, it was nothing that I could relate to. I didn't even know what the word perimenopausal was. I just thought the menopause was like no periods and a hot flush, which a hot flush I didn't get, and I had the Marina coil, so I didn't know whether I was had a period or not, except I had, you know, I was just like the worst anxiety, overwhelmed by life, couldn't leave the house, night sweats, couldn't drive the car, was just everything, foggy brain, headaches, just inflation of the joints, like that I couldn't even walk to the toilet. I was like a 90-year-old woman. And then the minute I slapped a bit of estrogel on and a bit of HRT, within 4 days, I was feeling better.
So I think what a lot of women listening to this podcast are either staring being menopausal in the face, certainly perimenopausal possibly, and if they're not, they know they're going to get there one day, or they're in the menopause, or they're through the other side of it.
Yeah.
However, you know, I think one thing we all acknowledge is, like pregnancy, no two menopauses are the same. But if you could just share some of your pearls of wisdom, your kind of the three things that dragged you through it, what would they be?
Right. Okay. The minute that you if you get those weeks, if you're perimenopausal, 1 in 100 women from the age of 40 to 45 will be perimenopausal. So if you have a week where you feel quite tearful and it's a bit different to like PMS, not that you want to strangle your boyfriend and stab him and eat a pound of chocolate.
Normal.
Yeah. But you feel more.
That's every day, right? Yeah, that's
every day. You feel very flat. You feel quite weepy, you feel very fat, you feel overwhelmed by life. You're getting these feelings that you've not really felt before. So I now look back and I think I started when I was about 39 because I think I used to self-medicate more on then when I used to get those feelings. I don't want those feelings to keep them away. I would drink or do something to take away that feeling.
Yeah. Sounds like a hangover, like a terrible, hangover.
Yeah, and yeah, it yeah. is. And you're like, that sinking feeling and you can't leave the house. No one ever told me that was anything to do with the menopause. So I just was sitting there thinking, oh God, me, oh God,
and you would think it was because of excess, and it's like, that's karma. That's my
karma.
I've pickled myself.
It's more guilt.
Yeah,
and then who's going to care about me because I'm a dickhead?
Yeah, because I've done that. Yeah. So I couldn't. I looked up everywhere.
But it's true.
Yeah. So I went to an AA meeting in Notting Hill, and I was just chatting away, and then when I came out. This lovely woman came over to me and she said, "You're not going mad, Meg, you're going through the menopause." And I was like, "Are you what?" She went, "You're going through the menopause." She said, "Here's my number, call me later." So I called her, and then she was the one who, she basically just pointed me in the right direction. So if it wasn't for her, she went to me, "Meg, I'm going to send you, you can go to your GP, ask your GP to send you to an NHS menopause clinic, Chelsea and Westminster, where you'll be able to get everything that you can get privately in an NHS clinic."
And that's what a lot of women don't know. It's about knowing what is available to them. So the resources are there. The NHS will facilitate you in your benefit if you know what you're asking for.
Yeah.
You've got to go in armed with a little bit of knowledge.
Yeah, so on my website, I have a thing called the NICE Guide, which you can download, tick all the boxes of all your symptoms, and then it says what HRT is and what different sort you can get. And you can carry that into your GP.
But we forget they've spent a week at most studying and learning
3 hours
on the menopause.
Is that
three
what they
hours.
Do? Oh, that's nice.
They do half a day nice on eating disorders.
Oh, great,
no, it's not that. It's that is part of their studies. That is what every GP
will have.
But
they're not even updated even. So with all the menopause doctors that I work with, they're really up to date and they hold own conferences and they're always knowing what's new. Any GP, like if you've had your GP, say, since you were like, because I've got one GP that I always go to, and I've had him since I was 27. But I know he's never gone on and done a bloody refresher course on the menopause. And I know he won't. So I would never go and see him. I'd go and see him with a cough and a cold and a chest infection, you know, with Aeneas or whatever. But I just know not to speak to him because there's no way he's a specialist.
But we have them in such high sort of esteem.
Well, we do.
But all
but we have to remember they're not superheroes.
No,
they're not just superheroes. They're just super people.
They're just learning what they've been told to learn. You know, it's not like that. And you have to wait 20 odd years before any study is confirmed. Like, I think it's only now that they've decided that sugar's bad for you after like 30 years of disputing it. Or margarine, for example, you know?
Yeah. I mean, which for years we're told, don't eat butter, have marge.
It's better for you. And it's not. That actually is hugely inflammatory.
And so much about the help that you get is luck of the draw. It's a lottery.
Yeah.
Now, I think I was talking to you about this. My local GP happens to do a lot of work on telly.
Yeah, she sounds great.
And she's brilliant. She's called Dr. Rosemary Leonard, and she's the kind of the BBC Breakfast News doctor, which means that any new study that comes out, she's across it.
Yeah.
So when I went in at 35 and said, my mum's had early menopause, I feel terrible, it's cyclical, 2 weeks of the month, I'm like in the pits of despair, the rest of the time I'm fine, so I don't think I'm depressed, I think it's hormone related. And she was like, but look, there's this new study going on in the States, and what I'm going to suggest is I'm going to change your contraceptive pill and I'm going to mix it with a low level antidepressant, which will act as kind of an HRT because I'm not producing estrogen. And it took me a while to kind of find the right mix, but I've been on that forever. Now, if I didn't have her, where would I be?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, like, I'm just lucky that I had access to somebody that's really knowledgeable, and she's written a book about the menopause. So, so my God, I couldn't have been luckier. Really lucky. And she's on my doorstep. So, I mean, if people do have any questions listening to this, can they get in touch on the website?
Can they drop you a line? Megsmenopause.com, or you can just send an email to info@megsmenopause.com.
And there's so much up there. You've done really well with it, Meg.
Thank you.
You really have.
And do you know what? And the more we talk about it, the more things like doctors will have to read up on it. They'll have to be able to point us in the right direction because the questions are going to be asked.
I've got so much to look forward to.
Oh,
to
no, I can't wait.
Yeah. You've had four
You're
kids as well.
You'll probably be all right.
But I mean, how would I? So I'm 42 now.
Yes.
So I'm obviously the gateway of like perimenopausal. So I'm currently sort of, how do I sort of prepare?
So before the age of 45, you can go and get like FSH and everything looked at and have and see where you are. I know quite a few girls that are already starting to take, because we know that estrogel, it helps with collagen and skin and staying young. Helps support your heart.
Straight away, I'm like, staying young, sold.
Helps to support your heart, because 1 in 3 women will suffer from a stroke or a heart attack.
Wow.
Yeah, in the UK. 1 in 2 women will get osteoporosis, or 1 in 2 women will get a collapsed pelvic floor. So the earlier you start taking estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, the better it will be.
So what is the test? So just
they test your bloods.
Right.
So if you're on a contraceptive pill, they can't take a correct reading.
I'm not on the contraceptive pill.
That's why you've got four kids.
That's why I've got four kids.
You've got the coil. You won't have anything
I've not got anything in me at all.
Oh my God.
But I've got an app telling me when I'm likely to get pregnant.
And then what do you do? Leave the country.
I go.
Right. Okay.
One of us has got to get on a plane.
Yeah. No, but so if I go into my doctor and I say, what sort of test do I want? I want my hormone levels. Is it a Dutch panel?
I want my hormone levels checked. But
and they have to do that, do they? Because I'm over 40.
No, they don't. Okay. So you probably
you know
likely
how awkward
have to
they
go.
Get.
You probably have to go private. I'd go to like.
But what about those that can't afford private?
Yeah. No. What I'm saying is, I just think it would be a big fight. A big fight on the NHS. You'd have to be feeling pretty rubbishy to be feeling having a really bad perimenopause, and if you just wanted to go in just because you thought, oh, I just want to see what's going on, you'd have to be feeling pretty rough. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. To go into your GP and just say, look, you know, could you send me to a menopause clinic?
If you said that it's affecting your mental health, they have to take you seriously.
Yeah, they would have to.
I mean,
yeah.
I think
and
so.
That is a mental health issue.
Kids, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're not on,
get in
on
there, ladies. Yeah, exactly. My advice is go.
But if Davinia
don't
walked
leave
in
until you get what you need.
And into my surgery, we just look in the picture. The thing is, a picture without, so you'd have to go mental health, definitely.
Right, okay. Yeah. I just go mental health.
Thanks, Dr. May.
Losing it on the inside.
Yeah.
Right, ladies, you ready for your next question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, your next question. Can you think of a thing that makes you happy now that would have failed to put a smile on your face 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah, exercise.
Yeah.
Exercise.
You didn't bother, did you?
No, I hated it. I mean, I had that attitude of like, okay, when you finish school, that's it, you stop. And, you know, and...
You thought that was me and P are done.
Me and P are done, you know. So I didn't realise... You know when people say things like it's, you know, it's good for mental health and mm-hmm. everything? I just thought, well, bollocks. It makes me knackered. I don't like it. I'm not good at it. And I'm very much of, you've got to be the best, otherwise don't bother type attitude. Whereas now I just do it for the love of the game and running as well. I like running. And I've been saying to Meg, it's not about running the fastest. It's just about getting out there and letting your cells do their thing. And it's my best form of sort of stress combat. If I have a row with anyone, which living in central London, I generally do every school run.
Yeah.
If I go to the gym 20 minutes later, I'm fine. And because that, and I just put old school house music on and I pretend I'm back in the Hacienda on a podium with hot pants on, without cellulite, having a little rave for one. Yeah. And I get that euphoric recall.
Yeah, and you love it because if you go onto Davinia's Instagram page, you'll see how she lives her life now. And there's that extraordinary picture that you put up, which was taken in exactly the same spot. And it was before exercise.
Yes.
I love that picture.
And just go and have a look because it's an extraordinary about turn.
Inflamed. Literally, it's like I was one big bruise. My body was just full of sort of toxins. And I mean, you couldn't even say I was grossly overweight. I was just like really sort of like struggling with even moving. You know, like you mentioned,
you'd had lots of babies.
I'd had the kids and everything, and obviously I'd had my mum pass away, and you know, I was eating on that as well. But I mean, you can eat as much as you want as long as you eat the correct thing for your body. But what I didn't know about, I was just completely anti-exercise and against.
So who turned you on to it?
Well, a friend of mine, Lucy, actually, she's a bit of a loony too. And she's lovely, though.
So, we were chatting earlier.
She's done ultra marathons.
You kind of swapped one addiction for
exactly.
another. You are extremely committed.
I am, and that's how I roll, you know. And I'm never going to be this yogi type person. I'd love to be super flexible and sit there and look at a sunset and go, oh, wonderful. Well, my thinking is, right, the sun's gone down, right, what's next? What are we watching on telly? What are we cooking? What are we doing? You know, and that's
but
how
is that
I
because
am.
Of, is that to do with by being bipolar, do you think?
No, I mean, I came off that bipolar medication after, I number my kids, by the way, yeah. after number three, because when I thought when we were going to have number four, I thought, you know what? My biggest fear of my life was my mum dying. She'd been ill all my life, to be honest. So I went to see my GP and I said, you know what? I just don't feel right, blah, blah, blah. And he had a look from another GP what medication I was on. And I was on super high doses of antidepressants, super high doses of bipolar medication. He said, oh, my God, who's put you on this? And I've been on it for years, just trundling away, you know, just like basically going through life on a sort of flat line.
Because obviously, fog.
Well, not so much. I mean, I was still.
Have you got that much medication rattling around?
But it wasn't affecting me that I was docile or anything. I mean, I'd gone through a divorce. I'd, you know, had other kids, and I mean, I've been high octane operating. You know, I mean, it wasn't like I was just totally lethargic. I just thought I'm not happy and I'm not sad. I'm just nothing, and I'm feeling. Yeah. I'm very bored, and one of my triggers is boredom. I don't like boredom. It doesn't sit well with
Danger.
Me.
Yeah.
It is, you know, and I like to be doing something and feeling productive. Anyway, cut a long story short, he windled me off all the medication completely.
Was that hard?
It wasn't actually. It was a lot easier than I thought. Yeah. I didn't get any withdrawals. I don't know if my opiate receptors are different to some people, and me coming off those that my dopamine levels just didn't alter at all. I mean, I was never one for. I was always into like uppers, being up, high, and happy. I'm not one of those relaxed, chill people. I'm not very sort of like an opiate type person. So whatever they were giving me wasn't rocking my world. So I was fine.
An opiate type.
But you know what I mean? You have the upper people, you have the down
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
I know when you're at uni.
You were always on the up. Yeah.
Always on the up. So, I mean, I just don't think they had the chemical mix right for me to get addicted to it, to be perfectly honest. So I came off it and then I had Jude without any antidepressants or anything. And that was fine for me.
That's really interesting.
And then I found my high in doing HIIT and exercise and, you know, just letting my body do what it was designed to do, which is run around.
Wow. Oh, that...
All those years. All those years. That searching.
I know. And all you needed to do
was go for a run.
Go for a run.
I know. Well, that's... Oh, God. I mean, it is. It's that feeling. It's putting one foot in front of the other for me. That plod, that after the 5 minutes, then I'm into my zone. Yeah. And I feel a bit of euphoria.
I hate running, but I do it because I love the way it makes me feel at the end.
Exactly. I mean, a few of you... Try noticing halfway through if you're feeling better. Instead of just the end. You do, don't you? We were all made to run, by the way. That's why we've got feet and legs. We weren't made to sit down so often.
That's why dinosaurs used to chase us.
Yeah. Don't know if we were around at the same time.
I made
right?
that bit
okay,
up.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Maybe a saber-toothed tiger.
Meg, what puts a smile on your face that wasn't even on your radar 20 years ago?
Okay, so what puts a smile on my face? I want to say, this is quite a funny one, I want to say taking my fake boobs out.
You've both done that.
Yeah, and I did it because Davinia did it, since I do copy her quite a lot. so I put them in 23 years ago and I took them out and I thought they were the best thing ever. And
you loved them when you first had them done,
God,
didn't you?
Yeah, I loved them. I did them, changed them four times, bigger, smaller, you know, whatever. Teardrop, whatever they called them.
Teardrop,
yeah, all sorts. Bigger, smaller, this and that.
Four times,
yeah. And then went round to see Davinia one night and I was looking at her and then she was like, oh, Meg, you won't believe, taking mine out, feel amazing, dropped a dress size.
Everything, the water bloat, the retention,
feeling angry.
Brain fog, gone.
Everything.
Really, do you think there's like a toxin?
Yeah.
A toxic reaction.
If you think about it, I liken it to, you know, when you get a splinter in your finger and your body does its best to push it out and it swells up around or like a bee sting or whatever. But can you imagine two plastic things next to your major organs, your body's going to do everything it can to circumnavigate it.
And did either of you consider that 20 odd years ago when you had them put in?
No!
I wanted to be like Pamela Anderson! Oh my God, she had all the fun!
Yeah.
She's married to Tommy Lee and everything!
Did you discuss Do you remember discussing with each other, I'm going to get mine done?
No, we just
sneak off and then come back into the field and everyone would go, where have you two been?
We just started partying straight away.
Straight party. I'm like, Paris and then came back drunk with new boobs.
Yeah.
Took myself off.
So you decided first off that yours were going to go to Davinia.
Yeah. Because I think I'd had number four. And I don't know, I just had an inkling that something wasn't right. And I tell you what the weird one was, Jude, who's number four, I tried to breastfeed him. And because I wasn't on medication anymore, the doctor said, you're okay to breastfeed. So I was breastfeeding him and he wouldn't feed off the right breast, but he would feed off the left. Anyway, when I got them taken out, it turns out the right one was ruptured anyway. I know! I wouldn't have known that at all unless I'd have taken them out, because they didn't look swollen. I wasn't feeling any pain. I felt nothing except bleh and fluey. And I had a cold as well, constantly. I've always had Vic sinus, didn't I?
And there's nothing, nobody's ever been able to say to you, yes, that was the cause of all of those things, but that's just what you were needing.
Well, there's a lot. 48 hours, I was feeling so much better.
Really?
And it's a gradual...
Did you feel better? Did you feel
absolutely.
The same thing?
Yeah, I felt exactly
all the water
same.
Weight went from my neck and my shoulders and your
here,
back
you sort of
and everything.
Drop
you just
beside.
Your back fat went,
gone.
I haven't even got fake boobs, what can I take out?
Yeah, and now the FDA are now saying, aren't they, that they're banned. Textured boobs and all this, so it's starting to change a lot. I was speaking to a couple of plastic surgeons. They take out more boobs now than they put in the UK.
Wow. And how do you feel about your body now that you're back to your natural self?
Better. And it's so much easier to dress, isn't it?
I think it looks more elegant.
I was looking at Katie Price. I flew over today and I was in the airport just looking in Marbella, in Malaga airport, and I was just looking at poor Katie Price, who's so beautiful, so good looking. I'm just looking at this poor girl with all this surgery around her face again. But then I'm just thinking, what's so obvious is like these massive boobs just making her look strange and huge around, you know.
It must hurt to carry around as well. It's got to put a strain on your back.
But I just think on your liver. And your whole, you've got this thing called the methylation cycle in your body.
Yeah,
and it's
meridian.
Everything. It's causing a car crash in the middle of your body. Like, you're near your lymph nodes and everything, your detox system. And it's not just a case of everything circumnavigating around it. It doesn't work that way. You've literally got plastic in your body and your body's going to go, let's push it out. Let's send antibodies there.
I mean, can you imagine, if Aeneas came to you now and said, Mum, I want to get my boobs done?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think she would.
No,
for
she.
A minute.
No. She
not
wouldn't.
As stupid as
God, no. Not as stupid.
But you know,
I'd just say no. Definitely, yeah. Absolutely, 100%.
But you're so good because you're so open with her about what went on with you. She'd probably go, yeah, mum knows better. Yeah. She knows not to do that. Mum's done all the experimenting that you ever needed.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Let's talk parenting.
Yes.
Let's talk parenting. This is my last question to you, ladies.
Right, okay.
I'm really intrigued to know, because you've done, you've raised Inez predominantly as a single mum.
Yes.
Which is very much the path I've walked.
Yeah.
You've done it both ways. You've had every iteration of parenting on your own, shared custody, and now, of course, you're happily married with Matt.
Yeah.
And you're in that committed, loving parenting space that we all aspired to when we started. What has being a mum taught you?
I think, well, I mean, on a practical point of view, it's helped me with my sort of like organisation skills. You know, I have to think a lot more. There's four of them. So there's like four different school drop-offs. There's four different...
They go to different schools.
Oh, yeah. I mean, why would it be easy? Why would it be easy? Oh, no.
How did you get that so wrong?
Right, well, it's the same school, but they've got different bloody postcodes for each part of the school. So, yeah, exactly. So
the organisational skills in you have come to the fore.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not... Can I just quickly intervene? They have got, she's got in her kitchen, like, all the boys' homework. It's like the Egyptians, the dinosaurs, all up there. They've all got a peg with their school uniforms on and their games kit on and all their homework timetables. I mean, I'm in shock even when I go around there.
That's
and
so good.
Also, Davinia cooks all the meals, even more shocking.
Yeah.
Wow. She's a really hands-on mum. It is pretty amazing.
So, no childcare, do you?
No.
I'm really think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's quite amazing when you go around there. It's like, I love it.
But you've got to run a tight ship. But I notice as well, I catch myself, I'm very self-critical as a parent. I always think everything I'm doing is wrong, and it's a lot of guilt, isn't there, when you become a parent?
Horrific.
I mean, my mum said that to me before she died. She said, you'll spend the rest of your life feeling guilty, so just
like you're not enough.
Oh, you've done that wrong. And you know, like I took the older two to Disney World the other day, and my second one, he's naughty. He really is naughty. And he'd make a saint swear. Anyway, we're talking, we'd done Disney World one day, then Universal the next day, and then this is Busch Gardens. And he's kicking off, playing holy hell, because he can't go on one of the biggest rides because he's not tall enough. So I went, right, that's it, come here, we're going to go and sit in the car. I am sick of you being so spoiled, blah, 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 all this. This police officer came over to me and said, excuse me, ma'am, I don't know what part of the world you're from, but over here in the USA, we do not tolerate that sort of abuse to kids. I went, oh, really? Oh, really? Well, I've just done three bloody theme parks and I'm at the end of my tether. And he went, if you carry on, you'll have to spend a night in a cell. I went,
no.
I went, do you know what? Good. You take him. I'll happily spend the night in a cell. You deal with him and him on sugar. Go on. And he just went, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'll let you carry on with your day. Enjoy the park.
Was he from the Disney police?
No, he wasn't. Unfortunately, that would have been great. No, he was Busch Gardens.
They have real, like, they have proper powers there, the Disney police, because I've come up against them.
Do they?
I mean, there's a lot of tension in Disney with queue jumping and everything. I mean,
But they own the electricity, I believe, in Florida. They own a lot of the land around it. And, you know, yeah, they police it. And there's Disney jail.
No, it is a strange place anyway, yeah. I was very happy to touch back down in Gatwick, actually, after this week.
It's the dumb.
Thank God for Europe.
But the kids love it, don't they? They do love it.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure they had
a bad experience.
Yeah.
But emotionally, what has being a mum taught you? Or in terms of the change in the way you think, respond to things?
I think the whole experience just for me has just made me more unselfish, I think. I think I really, it's brought me into, I think all about feelings and all that sort of, or jealousy and anger and all those things that I used to flare up to and stuff. It's just made me be very open and be able to share and talk with Anais, I think. So every bit of the way, I've been like talking through it. So it's just been very, for both of us, being quite an experience, because I didn't think that I would be like that as a mum. I thought I was going to, no, I didn't. But I just thought I was going to be sort of, you know, I wasn't very maternal, you see. And
no,
then,
I wasn't either.
No, so no. I just thought, and then all of a sudden it sort of just came in more about sharing and talking. I just thought I was going to be a mum. I always had to help. I always had a nanny. You know, it was a bit like this, and Anais went off to boarding school. But, you know, we're more closer. What is that word? More closer?
Than we're closer
than we could ever be. And just even from the age of like 11 and 12, we would sit and talk about absolutely everything. And it just was like this little person, I just would be able to, from the, what I'm really trying to say is from the help of going to AA, it taught me such a lot.
Yeah,
so
it's a really good guide.
Yeah, so
life,
well, I think AA, I should actually say that it probably makes more sense. So everything I was taught, when I would get like really angry and everything, I would blame it on everybody else. And what I was taught was that I've always got a part in it. Yeah. So when I would go into an AA's bedroom and be like, you know, your room is so tidy. It was untidy. Why didn't you do it? Really, it wasn't really that untidy. I'd probably eaten a box of chocolates the night before and was really pissed off with what I'd eaten, and I would take it out on her first thing in the morning. So then I would sort of tell her about this, and we learned to navigate it. And so I would then go, it's got to be my part, it's got to be my part. So when Anais would be like not feeling good or feeling a bit jealous or a bit angry, I was able to get her to explain it. So, yeah, and I'd say, you know, why are you feeling angry?
You become each other's teachers.
Yeah, I think, and that's all from being in AA, yeah, because I would never.
Yeah, AA is like, I don't know, I mean, it's a shame that the AA is so guarded and everything, it has to be, but their principle in life is, it's a bit like a church, and it's sort of like owning your part of it and sort of like handing over to a higher power and everything. It kind of like takes the load off yourself, and just it kind of helps you unravel why you behave the way you do, like anger is basically fear, this sort of thing. So if I'm kicking off, and I do, I'm very, very sort of volatile, particularly in traffic. And if I'm like shouting at someone to move out the effing way because, you know, I'm late for the school, it's nothing to do with them. I'm kicking off because I'm worried my boys are going to be late for school and the headmaster's going to look at me like I'm a loser mum. And that's where it comes from. It's not the poor cyclist who's got his chain stuck, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just giving you that second to rewind and go. And I find that if I shout at the boys, I'll rewind straight away and I'll say, listen, this is why I'm shouting at you. I mean, if it's them, if one of them's kicking the other one, they'll
that's
obviously
simple,
get shouted.
Yeah.
But if I'm kicking off on them for some reason, I've got that's the brilliant thing about what AA teaches you is to rewind and just hang on, take a step back and just where's that coming from? I mean, it's just basic sort of just psychology, you know, helps.
Don't you think?
But I didn't
have
any of that beforehand. But I just thought it was all one big movie.
Did you? Do you not think that through the eyes of your children, you're reminded about the real simplicity of life and what is actually important and what isn't? And I think you know your kids can just strip it right back and make you declutter your views.
Yeah, like watching my two little ones in the sea, like my 3 and 5 year old at the moment, we got them like little bodyboards, you know, and they're just like, they're only like about €10 and they've just spent hours on there, you know, and they're so excited. Yeah. I mean, my older one now is 12, is like in the wraps of Fortnite, you know, he's loving that and everything. But I still see him, he's chatting with his mates from school online and they've got their own little banter going on and, you know, they're really giggling stuff.
But just like your two youngest splashing around in the sea, if you didn't have kids, you wouldn't be in the sea, putting your face in the water, reminding yourself to lie back, look up at the sky sometimes, and just
those things.
If you didn't have children, you wouldn't do that. You'd just still probably be running, probably to the bar.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a catalyst to keep me. I mean, but the thing is with addiction and stuff, it doesn't necessarily keep you in AA just because you've got kids, because you have got an urge that is so strong to make you survive. That's why you drink. And that's why what people don't understand about, like the alcoholic, the reason why you're drinking is to survive what you're feeling, and you're doing the best you can to stay alive at that point, because without alcohol, the way I was feeling, I could have quite easily killed myself. God. You know, so this is the, and there's a push and pull scenario, because like the trouble is with getting sober is you got to get sober before you can sort your life out when it's your life and what you're feeling that's making you drink in the first place.
But that means you've got to be alone with those feelings, right?
I know, yeah. And there's not a lot of therapists that can help with that. And that's why I'm so interested in, like, the DNA of it. So you know that you're not to blame. It's just something you've inherited. Mm-hmm. And then you can sort of move on and go, okay, tell me what to do next. That's just the way it is. My DNA says that. Now what do I do? Well, you write this down at night.
And God, don't you wish you'd known this years ago?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah. It's, you know, any family Christmas should be an indication of if it's in the family, let's face it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I think we've got that knocking around somewhere.
But you're proud of where you are now. Girls.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Happy in your own skin.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I think we always have the influences, but I think, you know, me, particularly when I turned 40 and after having four kids, I just thought, oh, do you know what? I'm never going to be a runway model or anything. So just get over it. Just be strong and just be fit and just be healthy.
Be well.
And that's more than enough for most people. And don't be bloated. Don't eat gluten.
Her favourite word.
Oh, I'm bloated.
Be nice to your gut.
Yeah, it's gut health, you know, because that's the key to mental health. What you eat really, really well. It really affects me. That's why in Disney World I didn't eat anything. I just fasted.
I just. No wonder you were so hangry.
No, I just had like these little sachets of fat that I eat.
You eat fat?
Yeah.
Yeah, she does. Coconut oil.
Like an MCT oil, and it'll just stop you from eating because it'll stop you the sugar cravings because your body is satisfied.
Sounds really boring, though.
Oh, no, it's not, because you soon forget about food and you crack on with your life.
Do you?
Yeah, I intermittent fast every day. I give my body at least 12 hours.
I want to have all of this knowledge and wisdom and discipline.
Oh, my God, it's not discipline, it's preparation. Like, I got on a flight this morning full of fat, full of it, eating it. And so I'm not tempted by any bloody bagel or anything like that because my body is satisfied. And as soon as that trolley goes past, it's gone. Remember, I'm an addict and I'm tempted by anything bad. Anything at all, and it's got my name on it.
How can you sit on an easy jet at 5 o'clock in the morning and not say yes to a bacon sandwich?
It's quite easy because I've just eaten a load of fat. I've just put my headphones on. MCT oil. Multi-chain triglycerides. Just DM me. I'll send you a shopping list.
So don't you worry. Oh, girls, thank you.
No, thank you for having
us. It's so wonderful to see you both.
Oh, I know.
And I know we've got to get you to an airport, but thank you. And I hope that your friendship continues for many more years to come.
Thank you, Kate.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think we can count on that. Whilst you're both sat in a corner sucking coconut oil.
Living our best life. Yeah.
That's it from this week's White Wine Question Time. Please don't forget, if you like what you've heard, rate us and review us. It really does help other people to discover the podcast. And if you want to chat to me, I'm on Instagram as the Kate Thornton, or you can comment on our Twitter and Instagram handles. We are at WhiteWineQT. White Wine Question Time is produced by me, Kate Thornton, alongside Caitlin Mercer for Yahoo UK, and our music, as always, has been provided by Andy Bell. Andy Bell's band Ride have scored a massive top 5 album. If you want to check it out, I would encourage you to do so. Thank you so much for listening. For once, I don't need to say drink responsibly, because not a drop has passed these lips.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.